A children's catechism class was learning the Apostles' Creed. Each child had been assigned a sentence to repeat. The first one said, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." The second child said, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only son." When he completed his sentence, there was an embarrassing silence. Finally, one of the children spoke up and said, "Teacher, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here." Hopefully that is not the case for us this morning. Believing with all our hearts, all our minds, all our strength, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in every way present with us this morning. Let's pray. God, we truly need you to be visibly in our lives this day. We need your love and your wisdom to touch our hearts so we love the way we need to, want to. Forgive us for ignoring you when you call us to humble ourselves, when you want to bring attention to the sin that so easily makes us stumble, and when we respond in unkind ways that don't reflect your goodness. Come and fill us like only you can. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Our text today comes from the minor prophet Amos in chapter 8, verse 1 to 14. The Ernie has it up. I'm going to read it to you. Amos 1, verse 1 to 14. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, "Amos, what do you see?" And I said, "A basket of summer fruit." Then the Lord said to me, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I'll spare them no longer. The songs of the temple shall become wailings on that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over, so that you may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale?' We will make the ephah smaller and the shekel heavier and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, 'Surely I'll never forget any of their deeds.' Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I'll make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I'll turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I'll bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I'll make it like the morning for only sun and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I'll send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. On that day, beautiful young women and young men shall faint for thirst. Those who answer by Ashma of Samaria and say, 'As your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives,' they shall fall and never rise again." Sometimes we live in such a busy and noisy world that we could almost pine for silence of another time and place in our lives. Often people will go camping or go hiking to a secluded spot, hoping to find a little space in creation where they can get away. Often when people begin their holidays, it could take them 3 or 4 days to try and slow down with all that's happening in their hearts and minds. Have you ever experienced that? Where you've gone away geographically, but everything's still spinning inside you. You'll hear people say, "They're too wound up. And often we are. We live in a world that we try to control with our schedules, planning for nothing to go wrong, but usually at some point, things do not go the way we had planned it. Changes at our work, challenges with our children, uncertain health, not enough money to pay the bills because of unexpected expenses, and relational breakdowns with people that we deeply care about. In the book of Genesis, God established a Sabbath rest in every week to help us rest and refocus all the happenings in our world and lives by regaining perspective in God, allowing opportunity both for reflection and healing to enter our lives. But there are other times in our lives where silence feels like the last thing we need, where there's an emergency at school and you cannot get a hold of your child, when you have a disagreement with your closest friend and things remain unresolved, when you are crying out to heaven to be rescued and it seems like nothing's happening. When my dad died suddenly from a heart attack at work, there was no more goodbyes. The last memory I have of my dad was he came home from work, was eating supper, and my two brothers and I were heading out to some church service in Edmonton. That was 41 years ago now. My middle sister, who's 6 years older than I am, has made sure since my dad's death to always say goodbye, because that's something she missed telling her own daddy. In the passages that we've been reading in the Minor Prophet of Amos, big changes are coming to the nation of Israel. Judgment because of their broken relationship with God and the cruelty with which the leaders of the nation deal out to everyone and anyone connected to them. And even though the prophet of God is warning about the devastation to come, Israel's become deaf and dumb to the words and the ways of God. We can equally move out of the range of the Lord's voice in our lives by the things we do and say in our relationship with Him and each other. In Amos chapter 7, he proclaims three visions that are about to come upon the nation of Israel. The first is an invasion of grasshoppers that'll strip any green plant of its life. This would bring mass starvation to an agricultural-based community. The second vision is a great fire raining down on both the land and the water. Again, without access to fresh water or land, it'd be impossible to grow crops with which to feed oneself. The third imagery is that of a plumb line, with which to affirms Israel's completely crooked and offside. And so now Amos chapter 8 begins with the fourth vision. Amos 8:1. The prophet said, "The Lord God showed me a basket of summer fruit." The idea of summer fruit, it is that it is the last harvest of the year. When I lived in Revelstoke, I had a raspberry plantation, both gold and red raspberries. People would come for miles. No, I didn't let them pick on the mountain. We had so many berries, we didn't know what to do with them, so we gave a lot away. The season always started slow, and then it would explode, and it was difficult to pick all the berries. At the end of the season, the berries became sparse again, and many of the raspberries were either dried up or overripe at this point. Either the fruit would need to be eaten within a matter of days or frozen because of being on the edge of going bad. Amos 8:2, the Lord compares the nation of Israel to ripe fruit that is coming to their end. There's no way to turn back the ripening process. In essence, the nation of Israel is ripe for destruction. There are not going to be any last-minute escape hatches or turning back the clock. Amos 8:3, the songs of the temple shall become wailings. Dead bodies will be everywhere, and silence. Usually when the community went to the temple, the songs would be upbeat because of God's goodness and continual love and direction for his people. songs of everlasting joy and peace would have been upon their lips. But now the songs would be that of lamenting, of sorrow, bewilderment, desperation of what's happening to them. There'll be so many dead bodies, there'll not be a place to bury them. And the silence will be the silence of God. As the people cry out in their grief, wondering, where is their God, their deliverer, their rescuer? And the only response will be that of silence. Have you ever had a time in your life when you had many questions, but it didn't seem like God was in a hurry to answer them? God is going to become silent, but before he does, listen to his words in Amos 8:4-6. You trample the needy and bring ruin to the poor. Verse 5, when the new moon will be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so we may offer wheat for sale. We will make the ephah, which is a measurement of grain, small, and the shekel great. What would happen if the leaders of our land were corrupt and looked at every encounter with which way to take more money out of your pockets? Don't say it's happening already. We see this in countries around the world where the only way to have your legal papers moved on is to pay a bribe. This could be to the police, the government agencies, or anyone who has influence. This would be completely frustrating, as the only way of getting ahead would be to cheat and lie and take advantage of others. And this is exactly what Israel's leaders are doing. Their sole motivation was to make money at the expense of others. So much so that the religious days, such as the Sabbath, or like our Sunday services, or the religious festivals, like we would have for Easter and Christmas, they were an inconvenience. These events were interrupting their profitable business. Instead of it being the highlight of the week or the year, they were literally putting in time, waiting for the moment it would be done. Kind of like when you go to the dentist. Instead of these holy days reestablishing their relationship with God and guiding their moral compass as the servants of the people, they despised them. Even when the people were buying food, they'd rig the scales so the poor had to pay more money for their food. Amos 8:6, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. This is the same phrase repeated that Amos used in chapter 2, verse 6, revealing the complete wickedness of the nation. They cheated the poor so badly that they sold them into slavery. They had nothing left. They went as far as taking the sweepings or the husks and shells from the grain that were worthless and sold it with the grain as a filler. It's kind of like when you buy a bag of potato chips today. Now the bag's a third full, and you're wondering where the other two-thirds of the chips are. The level of evil is so bad, in verse 7 and 8, God promises that he will never forget their wickedness. The Lord actually swears by his own name that he'll indeed carry this out. Verse 8, God comes like a warrior with the ground shaking under his feet, and everyone will mourn. The ground will rise and fall like the Nile at flood time and then recede. When God acts, all will be impacted. Verse 9 and 10. Things will go from bad to worse for the nation. Their opposition will be no other than the one true God. The day will turn to night like an eclipse. Any type of feast will turn into a time of mourning. Their songs of celebration into weeping. Everyone will go around wearing funeral clothes and shaving their heads because of how deep the sorrow rests upon them. Like a family's only son or only daughter dying. There'll not be a household that is not touched. In the final four verses, the worst possible consequences befall Israel, and they'll no longer be able to hear God. Verse 8:11, God will send a famine on the land, but it will not be a physical famine, lacking bread or water. It'll be a spiritual famine. God's people will no longer hear his comforting voice to guide, direct, correct, or love them. In verse 12, it says, they will wander from sea to sea and from land to land, seeking a word from the Lord, but they'll find nothing. If I could walk 500 miles, well, you can carry on from there. In this case, if you could walk 5 million miles, all you would hear is the whistling of the wind, because God has become silent. Amos 8:13, in that day, beautiful young women and strong young men will faint in that day, thirsting for the word of the Lord. There will be a spiritual vacuum. The text ends in 8:14 by saying, all those who swear by the false temples and idols in Samaria, Dan and Beersheba, shall fall and never rise again. They will try to create their own gods, just like we do today. In the end, they will perish with them. A man and wife were having problems at home, so much so that they weren't talking to each other. I know this has never happened in your home, but you've watched it on TV. So the husband and wife are not talking to each other, and the husband's about to go to bed, and then he realizes he's got a problem. He has to wake up at 5 in the morning to catch a plane, and he needs his wife to wake him. But if he talks to her, he'll lose and she'll win. So he has to think of a way of communicating. He writes on a piece of paper she's sure not to miss. Honey, please wake me up at 5 in the morning so I can catch my plane. Next morning, he wakes up at 9 a.m. He's furious. He goes to find her when he finds a piece of paper that says, honey, it's 5 a.m., wake up. God is calling out to each of us. Can we hear him? The nation of Israel seems to be controlling their own destiny. Riches upon riches, however it was gained, mattered little. Their ivory beds and their posh accommodations. Believing that somehow things would just keep on going their merry way. But it doesn't. What is just and true finally prevails, no matter how disconnected and irrational the culture. Yes, eventually, the God of the universe will act and right the wrongs of our world and our lives in this life or the next. The people of Israel are about to find this out, but it doesn't have to go down this way. No, they could seek God while he still could be found. In the book of Amos, human grief and God's silence are two signs of God's judgment, affirming that things are not right between their relationship with the Lord and each other. I think of the story of Israel should be a caution to all of us in our understanding and relationship with God. Sometimes you hear people say that they are going to sow their wild oats and do their own thing for a few months, years, decades. And when they're done having all their fun, they will come back and find God. Often, it is in going our own way and doing our own thing that we're led by our own selfish desires. We now live in a pluralistic society which says, believe whatever you want, do whatever you want, just don't hurt anyone. How is that supposed to work? I don't know if you noticed this. The town sent a thing out recently saying they're slowing the speed down in town in certain places. I want to drive my Swift Passat Volkswagen up and down the streets at Mornville at 200 miles an hour. I do not plan to hurt anybody. In fact, everybody should just stay off the roads when I'm driving. We should be able to have as many intimate relationships with as many people as we want, because we know that won't hurt anybody. If anyone ever broke off a relationship with you to be with someone else, you know how that felt. We should all be rich and have as much money as possible and spend it on ourselves, while there are people starving to death every day because of lack of food, because that won't hurt anybody. As independent and self-sufficient that we are in this part of the world, we need to be reminded that we were created to live in community. We were never meant to live alone. You've heard of the studies of babies that were not given affection and how high the mortality rate is from that. God created us to be in relationship with Him and each other. In healthy families, we were to grow up with the example of what it means to love and be loved, to wrong others and yet incredibly experience forgiveness, to be generous and still have enough to live on. In the gospel, Jesus said that those who are willing to lay down their lives, our selfishness, and all that is included with that, would truly begin to live like we were created to in Christ. We would have dreamed that it's when we give our lives away that we actually live to the fullest. And by living by Jesus' words and commands, that we would impact the world through the message of the living Christ, one heart at a time. Anyone who thinks that their actions are not impacting others positively or negatively are lying to themselves. We may choose to live life without engaging God and His people, but then we might find ourselves so distant from the Lord that we cannot hear Him, or worse yet, don't want to hear Him. The one person we cannot afford to experience silence from is God. No matter how dark, how difficult, we're always encouraged that God is never more than a breath away from us. We don't want to put ourselves in the situation where we need the Holy Spirit's absence in our lives to accentuate that we have lost all that really matters. Exodus 33, after the fallout of Israel's worshiping the golden calf, the Lord refused to go with His people into the promised land. He told Moses He would send an angel with them to defeat the people in Canaan land. The reason God did not want to go with them was because He knew how stubborn and rebellious the people were, and surely He would destroy them along the way. Moses responds in Exodus 33:15 to God and says, "If you're not coming with us, don't make us go. Because it's your presence that sets your people apart from all the peoples of the earth." I'm going to say that again. It's God's presence that sets us apart from all the peoples of the earth. Without God's presence in your life, in my life, there's very little of value that we will accomplish on our own that'll have any internal value. Sometimes the silence of God in our lives is a result of distance that we've created with Him in the things we do, in how we act, in the things we say. It doesn't need to end this way for Israel with judgment and separation from the only wise God, and it doesn't need to end this way for us either. Israel needed to come clean, to be honest about the things they were doing that they knew were wrong. They needed to humble themselves before God, and He in turn would heal them from the inside out. Philip Yancey, well-known author, he tells the story of a man who wants to leave his wife to have an affair with another woman. And he asks Yancey if God would forgive him for what he was about to do. Yancey responded saying this, "It's not a matter of whether God will forgive you, but rather, will you seek His forgiveness? It is possible to walk so far from God that we indeed cannot find our way back home." Let's pray. Jesus, we pray that you cultivate a desire in us to be as close to you as we possibly can be. That we would be honest and willing to allow you to search our hearts and to speak to us about the things that should not be in our lives. Help us in our relationships to act with kindness, treating others how you pour your goodness and love over us. Teach us what it means to give our lives away in you so we can be free to really live the way you created us to be. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Announcements, benediction, we'll sing one more song, you'll be dismissed. there is an enormous amount of food here. You maybe didn't know that, but so don't go without eating some. The chocolate brownies my wife made, don't eat those. I have a good place for them later on. Just some things that are going to be coming going forward. When we go into September, a lot of our programs are going to be running again. Whether it's our nursery, children, youth, our home groups will be running. We know there's going to be a ladies' study in the daytime already. The Book of Revelation is going to be a home group. Alpha, if you've never gone through Alpha, that's going to be a home group this fall as well. And there are going to be other home groups that are coming, but just make you aware of plans. You know that you can go on holidays and even come home tireder than you went? Has anybody ever experienced that? So we're getting, I just saying, it was only +5, I think, overnight last night. Can you see where this is shifting? Try and create some space before you go into fall to feel refreshed. Sometimes it's not doing more things. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that to hear the voice of God, for Him to speak to us, it's a gift. It's a means of grace. To think the God of the universe would want to speak to you, speak to me, that truly is a gift. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this last song.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.